So we're in the middle of a most interesting topic in Sefer Ali Shor, near the end of the second section, 25th chapter, on the topic of Ratzon. And just to summarize what we said yesterday, Ratzon is the most powerful force that exists within man. And the way we defined it was the following. Although people are limited in the way they can do things, we are not limited in the way that we can imagine things. And although falsely, we often think of imagination as child's play, like a child likes to hear and make up stories, or even adults like enjoy reading fantasy books when they just want to have escapism, but we don't see it as a powerful tool, or maybe even the essence tool of what we have in our Avodat Hashem. But now what we see is that one's Ratzon is his real essence. And I remember the story that I once heard from a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, that there was, it's a made up story obviously, but it's coming to teach this principle, that there was a man who every day would walk to a Yeshiva, and there was a man every day who would be working on the side of the road, and they would pass each other every day, and they died on the same day, went up to Shamayim, and the one who was just a regular working individual was given this great place up in Shamayim, and the one who would go every day to learn in Yeshiva, he was given a lower place in Shamayim. And he said, hey, there's a mistake here, something went wrong, what's going on? I was learning every day, and this guy was just a regular working individual, how could it be? He's higher in Shemayim than I am. And they said, no, let me check, no mistake here, everything's in order. They go, why? So they checked and they said, well, everything goes on your Ratzon. And when you would walk every day, you would say, why do I have to go learn? It's so much more fun to see this guy, like, practical, doing things, making a difference. So although you were learning, but you didn't believe in your learning, you didn't have the will to learn, you were doing it out of it. However, this person, as you would pass him, and he would see you passing every day, he would say, I have to earn my living. I need to take care of my family, Parnassah. But I wish I could be learning Torah. His will was in Torah. His will was in Avodat Hashem. And Hashem does not look at a person based on his actions. Hashem looks at a person also based on his actions, but primarily based on his will. And therefore, the will is unlimited. A person is totally free in his imagination, where you can build your desire towards a more perfect world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is revealed, that you're unlimited in. And therefore, a person shouldn't view himself in the limitations of the society or he puts on himself, rather view yourself in your potential of Avodat Hashem. HaMatzliach lahachnis ha-shifa lehitkarvut el Hashem ve'l'avodato beratzon שרצון יתמלא כולו בדבר אחד ויחיד זה, להיות קרוב אל הבורא עולם, הרי הרצון ימשוך אחריו את כל כוחות הגוף והנפש. וכולם ירצמו למגמה זו. Okay, I'll go outside a minute, I'll come back in to read that again. When a person has a will for something, he's willing to do things that push him totally out of his limits, in unnatural ways, because he has the will. And even if a person says, I can't be bothered, and I'm tired, but when you have a will for something, then you're able to. So let's give an example. Let's say there's something to do with sports. There's a game taking place, and you want to go watch that game. So people will go to great lengths to get a ticket. They'll stand outside for a long time on a line. I've heard people do such things, right? For hours in the nighttime. Or a new phone comes, people are standing outside the store for hours a night. Now, normally you wouldn't have the will to stand out on the night for many hours, right? But if it's something that you really, really want, then you're willing to go and do it. And like money is funny like that. There are many things that people wouldn't do. But when you offer them money to do it, they're willing to do all sorts of like challenging things which they wouldn't normally do. But if that's what my business needs, that's what my parnassah is. So they'll go totally out of the way. I'll give an example of travel, for example. Many people would not leave their family for days at a time. For any reason, they love their family. But if they work in a certain profession, and they need to support their family, and they have the will to do well in their job, so they'll go and they'll leave their family for a week or two at a time. Why? Not because they want to leave their family, but because they have a will to be successful in their business, and therefore they'll go out of their way to. So when you have a will for something, you're able to, like, let's say someone's not feeling well in yeshiva. So if he's doing well in yeshiva and he has the will to learn, then it won't be hard for him to wake up on time, to come to all the siddurim. But if a person doesn't feel like he's doing well in yeshiva, and he doesn't have the will to learn, then even a tiny, I hiccuped today, I sneezed 3 days ago, like even a tiny thing will stop him from going because he doesn't have the will. Meaning, anything else really is an excuse. Really, really, all other excuses are really excuses, because if you had the will to do it, you would do it. So the question is not about what alarm clock can you buy that's going to be louder, that will wake you up. Because if you really, really want it, and it's really, really important to you, then you'll make sure that you'll hear a regular alarm clock. Again, what I said yesterday is still true. Like, some people are designed in a way that they don't hear well. That's fine. You know? So then we're not talking about them. We're talking about someone who, he can wake up for things that are important for him, and if he has a flight, he's awake. How come he had a flight, suddenly you're awake? There's a big game on today. He's awake. How come? So when there's a will, you're able to... So what our real goal, therefore, is instead of working on external things, like maybe if we do this, then you'll work out better. If we can go to the source, and we can build the person's will, then once you build the will, then everything else falls into place. Because when you have a will for something great, then it's not a challenge of waking up, and a challenge of understanding, and a challenge of... Once you have the will, you have everything. If a person comes to yeshiva and doesn't know Aramaic, doesn't know which side is Rashi and which side is Tosfos, doesn't know a thing, right? But he has the will and the desire to learn, he'll be able to go very far. He'll have stamina, motivation, he'll be able to be successful. You have someone else who's able to read independently, fluently, but he's burnt out and fed up. So then it doesn't make a difference that he has all the skills. It's not about the skill set, it's about your will. Just to read that line again. If a person is successful in channeling, coming close to Hashem in his ratzon, I was just explaining that sentence. You always have ratzon for something. You always have a ratzon for something. You can choose or work on what your ratzon is for. If you're successful in entering the desire to come close to Hashem in your ratzon, yeah, you anyway have ratzon, but if you're able to get the desire to serve Hashem in your ratzon, that your ratzon will be filled with solely this topic of coming close to Hashem, then everything else in there will be easy. This ratzon will push all the strength of the body and of the soul. Everything will be yirtamu, will be like on course, like joining in to this mission. Ve'lo od ela haratzon hazeh hu kalachat ala kaftor asher al yadav ya'iru lo milamana t'derech yelechuba. Not only will you be fully devoted to the cause, but like we just told that story, when Hashem sees that you have the will for it, then He opens doors for you. And there's a special siyat d'shmaya for you. Koch adir hu haratzon. That's how powerful and amazing the ratzon is. So, we just said that you always have a ratzon for something. Man always has a ratzon. A person without ratzon would wilt and die. You have to have ratzon. And we just said that it depends what you're channeling your ratzon towards. You could channel your ratzon towards... Let's take, we gave the example of sports, just to go back to it for a minute. I always found it amusing how if you live in England, then you have a great desire that your football team will win. And if you live in a certain area in England, or you happen to randomly pick a certain team, then you have a great desire that this particular, either these 11 non-Jews or these 11 non-Jews, whichever it is, that they will kick this ball in that direction. Right? And it's a strong desire. Right? How strong is the desire? A person's emotions will be dependent on it. They will either be happy or frustrated, depending on if it was this guy who kicked the ball that way, or that guy who kicked the ball that way. Which just seems ridiculous, right? If you didn't know, if you didn't grow up in England and know that how real that is, you would laugh at that. You would say, what, if that guy kicked the ball that way, you're upset, and if that guy kicked the ball, you're all happy? But you made your emotions dependent on which way the guy kicked the ball? It's ridiculous! Yeah, but then, so yeah, everyone in America is laughing now. Yeah, then you go to Canada and hockey, right? Now, why didn't English people have a desire for which stick hit the putt? I don't know what do you call it. Yeah, that was right. Hit the putt. And this way, and there was no ice, so they had to have air. And then you go to America, and it's four different seasons, right? So the will, right, it's a bit schizophrenic. Anyway. The will is like, this season this way, and this season this way, and this season this way. It doesn't make any sense, but when you're with the people there, the will is so strong. This team has to win, and who's going to win? And if lo aleinu, if you stand in the wrong team on the wrong side, yeah, you're a fan of this one and you're shouting and that one thing, then people, you could, there are, you know, people end up in hospital from that. If you were chanting this team on that side, the will is so strong. Now the proof is that it's ridiculous is that in this country this, in this country this, and something like that, and in one country it could change from season to season. That's how silly it is. So you see, it's not inherent. You just happen to be born in that culture. So you were swept along with the will of that culture. Meaning it's not your inherent will that Arsenal will beat Manchester United. Or I don't know names of Yankees and whatever. Yeah? It's not your inherent will. It's just that you happen to randomly pick that team or randomly be brought up in a family who your father picked that team and therefore you just went along with it. But you see how strong the will is? All your emotions are dependent on it? Isn't it ridiculous? Now, our avoda is not to cancel will. Will is a true, pure, healthy, good force. Channeled in a totally ridiculous way when it goes towards sports or other topics. The will is very powerful and true. There's a cleansing process that one can go through where they can say, I'm not going to cancel my will. I want my will to be strong, but I want to channel my will towards Avodat Hashem. So what he's saying here is, if you're successful in taking that will that you always have, everyone has a will towards something. It doesn't have to be sports. It could be money. Right? People have different wills for different things. Some people's wills are very positive ones. They're not spiritual. The person has a will. I was talking to someone recently who had this dream. It's an amazing thing. They want to open an institution in Israel for recovering drug addicts. And they were telling me their whole plan. And it's very detailed. They have many, many, many things worked out about it. It's really, I was very impressed. I love talking to people with visions and with missions, and it was very uplifting when I was talking to them. So I was talking to them. There's no element of spirituality in it at all. That's not their goal. That's not their purpose. But they have a very, very strong will. That's just an example of a very strong will in a positive direction. Not only silly and negative ones. It could be positive as well. Games are a terrible thing. Because the way that games, it's a computer games, they channel you to have a strong will in winning the game, which is all an illusion. There's nothing there at all. So what's so bad about games is that you feel fulfilled in having developed your will. I want something, and I have a mission, and I have a goal, and I have a dream, and I have a desire, and I'm accomplishing things, but it's all empty. It's totally false. It's all fantasy. So that's taking a positive koach that Hashem gave you for a positive reason of coming close to Him, and channeling it into an absolute illusion. And therefore you feel fulfilled, and that's why you feel so empty when the game's over. Because you suddenly look back and you say, oh my gosh, it's all nothing. Meaning you invested so much of your pure essence. Your will is your essence. It's who you are. It's who you are. All your desires and your goals and your dreams, and you invested it all into. So as long as you're playing the game, you pretend like it's true. And then you feel fulfilled. But then when the game's over, either you lose or you finished. And then suddenly, so what have I done? So there's a momentary satisfaction of like, I won. But then, and now what? And now what? And now you realize that you're supposed to do that in real life and you haven't done it yet. And it's all false. So the will is the most powerful koach that man has. You have to be very, very careful which way you're channeling it. A man without will die. A man with will can accomplish spirituality, can accomplish his mission in life. If you take a shifcha, and you channel that will in an unhealthy way, in an inappropriate way, then it's a waste of koach. It's a waste of your life. There's an amazing story about Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. I love this story. He grew up in America as an all-American star. And then Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman, from All for the Boss fame, took him under his wing, sent him to yeshiva. He used to literally stand on the side of the road selling newspapers. He never went to yeshiva. He later on became the Godel Ador. But when he was a kid, like a 10, 11-year-old kid, he used to stand there shouting out Evening Standard, or whatever the name of the newspaper was, and shout out the name of the newspaper to sell. Rav Yaakov Yosef took him in. Rav Yaakov Yosef had a store. He was a businessman, Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman. But he had to close his store early every day, and he would bring all candy bars and wafers to all the Jewish kids who would just hang out on the streets, give them all these bars, say, come in and learn, and he would sit 2 hours and learn with these kids, and created the generation of Talmud Chacham, amongst which were Gedolei Hador, including Rav Chaim Sofer Scheinberg. Anyway, Rav Chaim Sofer Scheinberg eventually got married to his daughter, Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman's daughter, went to learn in Mir, and eventually came back when the war broke out, left Mir, came back to America, came to Eretz Yisrael, and founded the Mattersdorf community with the Yeshiva Torah Or at its center. And he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Or. And he would go to America recruiting and fundraising. And once he came back from fundraising, and he made a Sudat Hodaya in his yeshiva, a meal to thank Hashem. And the Talmidim said, what's it about? He says, come and I'll tell you. So they came to the meal, and he said, I want to tell you boys what happened to me when I was in America. I was in a taxi, and I heard that the Yankees won the World Series. And it didn't interest me at all. It didn't bother me, it didn't flinch me. And let me tell you what an accomplishment that is. I've been going back for years and years and years. And when I was a little young boy, I was a Yankees fan. I loved the Yankees. And every time I would go, I wouldn't watch a game. Now he's a Rosh Hashiva, Torah. I wouldn't watch a game. But I would ask someone, how are the Yankees doing? I would ask, just to inquire, how's my team? My team. How are they doing? As if I trained them, yeah. My team. How are they doing? And you know, it would make me happy or say, oh, never mind. I would say when I would hear they're not doing well, or it would give me joy. And I realized that throughout all the years, I still had my Ratzon, to some degree, was still towards the Yankees. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, my Ratzon was towards Torah, 99%. I'd invested and built a yeshiva. But there was still something in me which still felt like pulled towards that. I still had a Ratzon for that. And then this time when I heard they won, and it didn't interest me at all, I realized that I'd outgrown it. Which means that all my Ratzon is now for Hashem. And on that, I'm making a Sfas Aleichem. That's a tremendous level. But it gives us a vision. It gives us an understanding. What we can work towards. Recognize where my Ratzon is. What's my Ratzon for? And then question myself. Is that really what I want to look back after 80, 90 years? And say, this is what I built? I've been talking to people recently, because of Corona and other things, like people near the end of their lives. And even some people who aren't even so old, but because people their age have been dying, it's like a big topic now. And like that, people are looking back, even midlife, and looking back and saying, what have I accomplished in life? And sometimes you talk to people and it's really sad. I mean, they feel sad. They say, what can I say that I've done that was so valuable? So I earned money. So what? lots of people earn money and it wasn't a unique contribution. But what have I done? I spoke to someone recently who said that all his life he was stingy. And he wouldn't give his kids and he wouldn't give his wife, and only if they like it, give, and even then. And he said to me, and what good did it do me? That's what he said. And what good did it ever do me? He said, I'm richer now. Okay, I probably am, but so what? So what? What good did it do me? That I was stingy my whole life and had a bad, I don't know if he had a bad, but like, it caused tension in the relationship between his wife and his kids, probably. What good did it do me? You know, you stop and you pause. So he had a ratzon for money. He had a ratzon for holding on to his money. And when you look from the perspective of death, like when I look back and I say to myself, what have I done in my life? And suddenly you ask yourself, was that really a ratzon that was worth holding on to? At the time, maybe it seems valuable in some way. But is it really something that you want? You know, they're going to say at your levaya, chas v'shalom. They're going to say like, he knew how to hold on to his money. I had a close friend. Dafka, with this friend, he probably would have liked the fact that they said it. But it was a close friend of mine's levaya. Someone who learned with me here in Keren Byavna and unfortunately passed away very young. And his brother said at his levaya, there was nothing more that gave him joy than having an empty fleishik plate in front of him. And everyone burst out laughing. Because it was true, Like, he loved eating. And a good meal, that's what gave him chiyus. Having an empty, fleshy environment. But I don't think even he would have minded. You know, because like that was like, he got a good kick out of it. He did many other very, very, very good things. They spoke highly of him in other areas as well. And that probably would have been something he would have been happy with, because it showed that he had a sense of humor. And that he was happy, he really made people happy. He was a very, very humorous individual. And that was his real koach. Like, he in Keren Byavna, he would do stand-up comedy. He would give direct Torah. He was very Torah-y. He was starting to give a direct Torah, but like throughout the direct Torah, I was cracking up laughing. And he really liked that. Like he brought joy to Torah learning. Definitely, he would have liked that joke. That one I found found it at the momentarily inappropriate. But then I thought who he was and how that's a koach of his, of humor, he probably would have been happy that they said that about him. Definitely would have been happy to say that. Either way, your ratzon is something which you have to contemplate. Where do I want my ratzon to be channeled? The example I gave in sports just shows that it's not inherent. Like you could have ratzon, you channel ratzon towards things. If it's unfortunately that you happen to be that you were channeled your ratzon for you on your behalf by your society in certain areas, then okay, then that's not your fault, but you still have work. You don't have to be limited to that for the rest of your life. You can say, okay, the environment that I grew up in challenged me to have a great, to be a fan of such and such, but that doesn't mean I have to remain my whole life with a ratzon towards that. I can channel my life towards more godly oriented things. And to the degree that you're successful in channeling your ratzon towards Hashem, you'll see success. I want to tell one more story. It's time, Baruch Hashem. Of an amazing way that a Rebbe in a school, who I learned by, channeled ratzon. Because what does it mean? How do you channel ratzon? How do you do this? We spoke about how the fact that you shouldn't dumb down the ratzon. You shouldn't say, I don't like things anymore. Because then it will also take away your ratzon from good things. But you want to keep the ratzon burning high. But you just want to channel it in the right direction. So what's an example of how we do that? Maybe we'll see more as we go on. But one example. There was a yeshiva katana, yeshiva high school, which the boys in the yeshiva high school weren't so interested in learning Gemara. Surprising how that happened, but it happened. They weren't so interested in learning Gemara. And the Rebbeim were getting really frustrated. Like they were trying to enthuse them with this and with that, and nothing was working. And they would tell them stories of Gedolim, and it was interesting, the stories, but they liked the fact they told stories because then they weren't learning Gemara. The time of the stories, but they didn't make them want to learn Gemara more. And they tried threatening them, and punishments and things. That everything wasn't working. Point systems wasn't working. They brought in this one educational advisor, Rav Yaakov Rav Moshe Aaron Shochatovich, who's a Rebbe that I learned by. And he said, why are you taking what you want and imposing it on them? That's never going to work. You want them to learn Gemara, but they don't want to learn Gemara. So you can't impose what you want on them. So they said, so what should we do? We want them to want that. He said, but they don't want that. So they don't want it, so you can't force them. So what do we do? So he said, well, what do they want? He says, what do they want? They want to have a break. They want to leave. They want to go on vacations. They want to go on breaks. So he said, okay, good, good. Now we're starting. We have to start with where the ratzon is. So what would be for them something that you know they would all want? That would definitely be a ratzon for this. So he said, Six Flags. Anyone who doesn't know what that is, you're not missing anything. A theme for Alton Towers. Everyone needs that. Who doesn't know what that is, you're also not missing anything. So anyway, a theme park to go to some big, exciting day out, which we spoke about before, how you spend 10 hours waiting online and 10 seconds of thrill. Okay, because you feel like you almost died and you realize you didn't die and say, oh, really, your life is a valuable thing. And that's the value that you get from this. So that's what they really, really, really want. So now you know what they want. So good. So now channel the ratzon of what's important to what they want. How do you do that? To say, make it conditional. Habaha talia. If the boys will learn a certain amount of material, a certain amount of time, as a group, so that you're also causing unity, if they will as a group reach a certain amount of hours of having learned, then they will be able to go on that trip. That's a channeling what you want towards what they want. And because they want the trip, that you know they want that, they actually want that, so now they'll want to do well in Gemara, because that means they can get their trip. Is it clear? Let me add, maybe this will answer your question. There's a very, very important caveat here, which is the make it or break it of whether this works or not. So just what we said so far is, you find what that you want, you find what right now where you're holding what you want, that's your ratzon, and then you channel what's important into what you want by saying, I will only allow myself to have what I want if I first do what I want to want but currently don't want. But I want to want it. It's not something against what I want. It's just, I don't appreciate it enough. But now, okay, now what's the caveat that's so important? how you relate to the Gemara, this is the make it or break it. How do you relate to the Gemara when you're learning Gemara? If the Rebbeim will come in and say, boys, let's get this Gemara over with so we can get the Six Flags. Okay, as quick as we can. Isn't it annoying that we have to do this Gemara? But don't worry, we're going to get past it. It will be all over soon. And when we've got the Gemara behind us, we're going to go on the best outing of the year. Then you've lost them, right? Then you've told them that what you want is important. And what you don't want is really not really important, but it's a punishment. It's a punishment that you have to suffer through in order to get what you want. That's you've lost it there if you do that. However, there's another way of doing it, which is the right way. If when they're investing in Gemara, you point out and show them and connect them to the inherent sweetness of Gemara. It has to be something for real. Yeah, you can't give them punishment and they'll love punishment. But if you can show them the lomdus and they can appreciate the lomdus, if you can show them a sense of satisfaction of having accomplished the goal in learning, if you can do a quiz and they see they know something and they feel honor from having recognized that they're connected to learning Gemara, and you mention here and there that there's going to be an outing, but you don't blow it out of proportion. But you do emphasize and build on how they're becoming B'nai Torah and how you see that they've got great minds. And you set them up in chavrusas and you show them how, look, you didn't know this before, now you know this. And you show them the inherent value of what they're doing now, to the point where they begin to appreciate it for its own sake, and they'll begin to want that. I'll tell you a story that happened in my house. I love it. Did I answer your question? Yes. The story happened in my house. I love this story. Turn out, my children didn't want to tidy their room. Baruch Hashem, they're normal, healthy children, emotionally grounded. They didn't want to tidy their room. So I said, I don't remember what it was, but I said, took something they want, used the same method, found something they want, and I said, I'm happy to give you this, let's tidy the room, and then we can enjoy that together. So they start tidying the room. And I was with them, I was tidying with them, tidying together. So as we're tidying the room, I went on and on and on, not in an annoying way, but in a healthy way of like, wow, I can see the floor. I can walk in here and I can find things. Look at this, I was looking for this book, and here it is on the shelf. And in the morning, like, you wake up and you're looking for your clothing and they're in your drawer. And we came to find a game and there's a game like in its box. This is amazing. And I went on and on, like not in an extreme way, but I did emphasize a lot how isn't it a pleasure to be in a room where everything is ordered and you can find things. And they were like getting onto it as well. And they were saying, yeah, look, Abba, this is here where it's supposed to be. And like, everything was like amazing about how clean the room was. And I didn't mention about the treat in the end. I wanted to see what happened. And they forgot about it. They forgot about the treat. They forgot about it. It was amazing. Now, you can't do that again and again and again, because eventually they'll pick up on it, right? You have to give it something. But it was amazing how it worked. That if I was so focused on the inherent value of having a clean room, that the dangling the sweet in front of their eyes wasn't even necessary anymore. So that's a way of channeling Ratzon. You don't push down the Ratzon for things you have. If you have a Ratzon for sports right now, you use it. You use it. But you use it as a way of getting what you really want. By making it a condition, you'll only allow yourself to do whatever it is that currently you want if you first do what's important to you. Important to you with an eye on always noting and focusing and appreciating the inherent value in that thing. And then as you build and build and build the inherent value in that, what's really important, then the other thing will naturally become less important to you because you've got a new love, you've got a new focus. And that's a way of channeling Ratzon. And that's the most powerful koach the man has. Yishar koach.